Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
To another edition of Zero Block 30, and today we have four rounds in the magazine. Round number one, there is some terrible news for all those horny troops, also known as all troops, based in Utah after a new law will make fapping extra tough.
And twiddling the flapping.
Yeah, exactly right. Flicking the old pink canoe. That's what they call it in the biz, I think. Round number two, there's another China balloon over Hawaii, and I feel like we're all so sick of China balloon that no one even cares about it this time, which is, I mean, that's kind of
ideal.
Very
refreshing. There you go.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah.
I think that's basically anything.
The news killed it.
You have one news cycle to make people care, and it's got to be something new. Like, even the fact that COVID remained the main news cycle for the longest time, That has to be the longest number one story that media talked about since the war kicked off. Since like 9/11, the war, right?
Yeah,
you're right.
The news stations blew their load on China balloon pretty bad a couple months ago. And now we're just trying and we're like, we can't care about it.
But the thing about what makes sense about this is the China balloon is just like, oh, it's just another balloon. The thing with COVID that made it so it kept going in the news cycles. There's always like a fresh new nugget that people were throwing into the mix to discuss.
Just making
and argue
up something
about.
New.
Yes. Yeah. Just completely.
Now it's
going
to make you not
news.
Be able to come. When you get COVID, you can't come.
Yeah.
That would make people vaccinated. If you start leaking that to the news and you put that on Reddit, like we heard that if you have COVID, you can't come. Like people will be like, let me get triple vaxxed real quick. Round number three. There's an absolute genius on one army base that came up with a plan that involved laundry and a duty NCO that you just absolutely have to respect while also wondering if that duty NCO is going to lose a little bit of rank. And finally, round number four, we're going to have good initiative, bad judgment. There's a story about a fake driver's license involving the former prime minister of England, who is named Boris Johnson. There's a nurse who made a huge mistake so that she could do 66 minutes of FaceTime. And also, using some government funds to buy some snow owls and wildebeest. Is that good initiative or bad judgment? Those are the things that we're
yes.
Yeah, initially I'm going to say yes to, unless it's a military working snow owl.
I didn't know those were existing.
It's a different ball.
Well,
game.
You can make anything military working if you train hard enough, Gons. I want to be a falconer. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
All right, let's move into round one. What do we have, Kate?
We got some porn talk. Round number one, this comes to us from Samantha Cole at Vice. But first, this is going to affect everyone who lives in Utah, and there are definitely troops who live there. There's the U.S. Army's Dugway Proving Ground, large, remote, high desert, closed-off post. Just picture a tiny little thing in the middle of the boonies, 1,200 military, government, civilian, support contractors, and they're out there testing biological and chemical weapons. But hopefully there's no Viagra dust in those weapons, because they're not able to get off anymore. Unless they're really using their imaginations, we'll tell you why. Same goes for Ogden Air Logistics Center, a.k.a. Hill Air Force Base. Obviously, they do logistics, but they also have a combat wing ready to go at moment's notice. But they won't have their boners and flaps ready to go anymore, thanks to this new law in Utah. So a lot of troops going to suffer from this. You got to show somehow, you have to upload it, your actual physical ID.
Yeah. So basically what the story is for Pornhub right now is that Utah is looking for laws that any type of explicit adult material has to, if you're going to go on the website, you have to upload your identification with your address and all kinds of shit to make sure that you're 18, which also means that you're uploading things to sites like Pornhub with your ID.
Very personal information. And so Pornhub has completely, they're like, we're not dealing with this. We're not making our users deal with this. So they have completely disabled their website in Utah. If you are in Utah and you're out there in that little boonies base and you just got a day full of chemicals and you're ready to go and you want to see how weird your boner is with all those chemicals, you're excited, you're going Pornhub, it's not there anymore. It's completely gone. As of today, actually, anyone accessing Pornhub from a Utah-based IP address doesn't see the Pornhub homepage anymore. Instead, they're met with Sherry DeVille, America's favorite stepmom, by the way. She's an adult performer, and she's explaining why you won't be able to visit the site. And the video goes, as you may know, your elected officials in Utah are requiring us to verify your age before allowing you to access our website. While safety and compliance are at the forefront of our mission, giving your ID card every time you want to visit an adult platform is not the most selective, effective solution for protecting our users, and in fact will put children and your privacy at risk. Fun quick fact about Sherry DeVille. I got to interview her once for Out and About. She's an absolute delight. She has her doctorate in physical therapy.
Wow.
She is a doctor of physical therapy, and she told us the top injuries in porn, a lot of pulled muscles.
Oh,
a lot of pulled muscles, new positions.
Like pulled dicks too, right?
Yeah, pulled dicks and pulled buttholes, folks. Those are the ones you want to... Yeah. And she dreams of opening a clinic one day for people with sex injuries because they're too embarrassed to get them fixed. And I think that's great. Go, Sherry. I'm a big fan.
That
I thought
is
she was
great,
lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Utah Governor Spencer Cox, doesn't live up to his name, he signed the SB 287 online pornography viewing age requirements law into effect in March, and now it goes into effect today. In January, Pornhub started requiring identification from Louisiana-based users following a similar law, then same thing in Arkansas. And since 2016, too, Utah has declared porn a public health crisis and an epidemic that is harming the citizens of Utah and the nation. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have recently and historically represented the majority of legislators in Utah, and in 2009, it was considered the online porn capital of the U.S.
I remember that when that list came out, I was still in, and we were all like, that can't be true. Like,
and when this list came out, it prompted a huge outcry from Mormon Utah people who were like, no, what? No, that's not us. Oh, my God. We got to do something. This is a huge problem. And so they started coming up with all these laws and wacky ways to try to crush porn. But let me tell you something. The need to jack off is like a cockroach. You're going to fight. It's going to survive no matter what. And if you have to climb down into the deepest, darkest depths of whatever to get your little nuggets off, buddy, you're going to get in there. You're going to figure it out somehow. So
yeah, I read
think
a story
this is...
once about a guy that was so horny on a school bus whenever he was in school that he put like his jacket over himself, like, and put his arms inside and just jacked off until he came in his own britches and just went to school like that.
Yeah, I feel like that's we were talking about in the Yak how hazardously horny you and like when you're coming of age, whatever. Anyways,
that kid was from Jacksonville, Florida, by the way. It was a Jacksonville story.
In 2021, Cox signed a law that would require device manufacturers to add adult content filters on all smartphones and tablets sold in Utah. And this, to me, like, where's the freedom there? Like,
right. Where's the privacy?
Privacy, freedom, like, what the fuck? How are people allowing this? I don't know. Fun fact, too, Utah, time after time, has been, like, one of the porn-heaviest states in the nation. According to one study, lesbian is the most searched term in Utah, and not all that's popular across the U.S., but anal and big tits were runners up for them, and they prefer tits over butts. Cosplay. Utah people search for cosplay porn 116% more than any other state. And I feel like
I know this is a stupid question. That's like storyline, right? That's like Pizza
it's
Man.
Like,
come up, or obviously the step shit that's everywhere now.
It's like two Guardians of the Galaxy banging each other.
Oh.
Like dressed up wearing Marvel costumes.
Cosplay is short for costume play.
Picture people who go to Comic-Con having an orgy.
Yeah, like Comic-Con, that's cosplay. People who do the, people who do like Civil War reenactments. That's technically
cosplay. Maybe
I
bet you it's
Superman,
out there.
The Man of Steel.
Yeah, so I feel like people who are stuck in button-up spots like that, they want to get weird, man. When they're having their time, they want to get weird.
Yeah, if you look at the Pornhub charts, the ones that are happening in, like, the reddest states, perverts. Just
big
straight
time.
Up perverts.
Also, though, healthy state, Utah looks up a lot of yoga and gym porn compared to other states in the country. So very good for them. That's
tell you what. I have a very good friend in Utah. Shout out to my buddy Rob, who's been on this show. Every time I go out there, all his buddies, like, they do so much activity outside. They're not the type to be inside.
Yeah, it's very outdoorsy.
Very outdoorsy state, very active state between the skiing, snowboarding, mountain biking, hiking, camping, all that stuff.
A lot of hiking porn, by the way. A lot of people out in the boonies out there doing it. Mm. Anyways, experts say that age verification doesn't work anyway. It doesn't protect children online. And it only works to drive material that is harmful to minors to less safe spaces on the internet. And I agree.
Agree.
If kids can't find it on Pornhub, buddy, they're going to go somewhere worse and somewhere that makes them more vulnerable. And I'm not saying Pornhub's perfect either. There's been things on that site that they haven't policed very well that is just fucking egregious. And they should be on top of that and fixing it and everything, obviously. But they're going to find a way. It's like the same thing as I feel like banning books from kids. It's like they're going to find the stuff they need to find. Why don't you just have age-appropriate conversations with your children and be very involved in their lives and what they're getting into and just be normal fucking parents.
Adults.
Or
if you don't want your kids to access that, which I would say 99% of parents are like that, you take the responsibility.
Right.
There's apps that you can put. Or Wi-Fi restriction. Like, I have it on my house. If I don't put in the code for myself or Annalise, no one can watch anything above PG-13.
Yeah.
Nobody. Like, unless we do it.
I just don't understand. And, like, policing adults like this is so, I don't know. It just seems very weird to me. And people are just going to find a way around it. And those black market sites, like those weird-ass internet sites, are going to be the place people go.
Terrible things.
And that's where you find,
I think
truly,
we should have porn Napster.
Yeah, you know, so I think it's just a slippery slope. It's not going to work. And it's just posturing about how good and godly you are when really you're also probably a scumbag. I don't know.
Normies are going to, like, I could see that probably appeals to, 20, 25% of all people in Utah, I think, would probably be on that, given the amount of Mormons that live there and, like, their moral stances.
But they're the ones looking up the porn. Like, that.
Right.
That's what's happening. So, I don't know.
And a lot of it's self-guilt, right?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of posturing. It's like when you find out the super anti-gay politicians are very gay. Like,
right.
Okay, buddy. All right. Anyways, whatever.
Shout out Ladybugs.
Yeah. I to the point, also, like, you know, putting the content filters on smartphones and tablets, I think we've gone too far the other direction in our society where we're like, well, my kid needs a phone. Everybody else has a phone. My kid needs a phone. Says who? Like, you could just as easily just not give your child a phone until they're age appropriate.
Well, get them a flip phone. Not all phones have crazy access.
See,
they get roasted.
Dude.
Yeah.
These kids don't go anywhere.
I don't have a teen yet.
I'm telling you, like, that's a great theory, Cons, but as an 18-year-old, like, I have 18.
Yeah. Well, 18, I think, is different.
Well, Kelsey's had it since middle school. If there is no these kids will be ostracized. If you go to public school and everybody has a phone, you will be ostracized.
That's what I'm saying. We've gone too far. Like, why these kids, it went so far that, like, oh, kids need to have these phones, but for what? Like, Kate, you're saying they need a flip phone. That's all you need it for. You need, like, hey, Mom, I'm done it with practice. Come get me. What do you actually need a phone for? And I know I'm, like, talking out of my
ass. But I'll tell you,
here.
Then you kind of fall behind the times as somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is a slippery.
Kate, what's the weather there like today?
Can you hear it?
No, is it bad? Is it?
It's raining.
What is it? Oh, I was going to say if it was cloudy, Cons could go outside and yell at the clouds.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. I just say, like, when my son becomes a teenager and he gets a smartphone, I'm going to be like, listen, there's a lot of porn out there. I bet you're going to be a curious guy. Let's talk about it. Let's have, like, a real conversation about it. And
that will be the most awkward conversation.
I don't care.
It's really not. Like,
I wish my parents.
I'm telling you right now,
sex.
I don't want to have that conversation with my mother at any age.
Maybe
your
Pat
mom listens
have
to
it
the
with
show.
Them then. But
she doesn't really. My dad does, obviously, but not my mom as much. Only, like, here and there.
In hindsight. If and it was just their generation, not their fault, but my family had been more open talking about sex and what's out there on the internet and, like, all this stuff, I feel like I would have avoided a lot of bad things that I ran into growing up. Like, I feel like that would have been very helpful to me. And so I'm going to be very open, age appropriately, with my son and have those conversations. Like, I feel like that's the way to deal with this. Not being like, I'm going to assume because this law is here, you can't see it that you're not going to
find it. Yeah, I don't think laws, putting these laws and restricting people's freedoms is the answer. I think it does fall to the parents to raise your children. So, you know, enough with these laws, because I think they're not going to do anything except cause more harm.
Yeah. All right. Well, Utah, get your shit together. I don't.
Let them
fap. Know, man.
Let them fap. If they go to a war,
and
they go
on. Last thing
porn
I want to say about that, if you aren't, if you're a parent not talking about that with your kids and how to have sex in a safe way or how to have any type of sexual relationship, because it's going to happen, like absolutely going to happen. If you don't have those conversations, somebody else will, or they're going to watch porn and think that's the appropriate way. That's how people have sex.
And this is how a young college lady spends several years getting finger blasted, pretending to enjoy it because some loser saw it on a porn he watched, and now I got to pretend because I don't know.
Yeah. And you think everybody's into anal and everybody can do 35 minutes of doggy style, which just flat out isn't true.
I was shocked when I saw what my butthole looked like. Doesn't look like Sherry DeVille's at all. Never been bleached. Full disclosure.
Yeah, my spokes are fucked up, too. Terrible. That's why they call me the pirate, old peg leg Pete.
I was a freak for a while.
Jesus.
All right, let's move on to round number two. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Proper Wild. If you suffer from symptoms of ADHD, like a lack of focus, no productivity, and your brain is constantly wandering, you need to check out Proper Wild's Clean All Day Energy Shot. Proper Wild uses organic caffeine stacked with L-theanine, which has been clinically proven way to boost your energy, focus, and productivity without the jitters or crash. There's no preservatives, no artificial flavors, no horrible chemicals, just a natural tasting energy shot with clean ingredients that work. Last week I was up in New York and they had like a couple boxes of this around so we could all try it while we were doing the ad reads. You know how disgusting the Barstool office are. I promise there was like 30 of them littered across just Kate, Glennie Balls, and that section of our office. If you've ever seen it on video, there is probably 30 empty bottles because people, one, they don't clean up after themselves, and two, everybody just likes it. So if you want to try it, go to properwild.com/barstool to try Proper Wild at 30% off.
Let's.
We're just going to say super quick. There was round number two. There was another probably China balloon flying over Hawaii. The government said, hey, it didn't go over anything serious. It's already heading to Mexico. And everybody's like, okay, that's a story.
Yeah, no one cares.
No one cares. The news has killed that story. No one cares.
There are a lot of things. Listen, like, I don't need to be worried. Don't put in the news because it doesn't affect me. Let the army do their job. The government do their job. Police these balloons. And that's fine. You don't have to tell me you did it. I'm all set not knowing about any more balloons.
Yeah.
How do you guys think that they pop these balloons them down?
I mean, with a really big pin.
They were shooting them. That one plane got the balloon sticker on it. They shoot
I actually spent a lot of time looking up stuff about these balloons. There's only 24 blimps that are still in service in the United States. Each one of the blimps is, they look small when they're in the air. They're double the size of a blue whale whenever they're in the air.
What?
243 feet long. And a lot of people think, how could they stay up? Well, there's so much helium inside. The pressure from the helium that makes it lift. You could put 10,000 holes in it with like a pin. Nothing happens at all. It has to be a rip that's bigger than 3 feet in order to bring it down. That's why it's so surprising that the one there that they had, the one that we built, the Americans built in order to do, you could do 5 mile, or you could do the one that I saw from 2015. This is fucking crazy. It could do surveillance down to like looking at the street the size of Texas at one time. Like, yeah, because it's 46 kilometers in the air.
We had before on the show a few months ago, we talked about the U.S. balloon surveillance program where they were trying to follow traffickers and stuff like that, like drug trafficking and like whatever crime from all these balloons that the U.S. had no idea all these blimps were over them watching with these cameras. But yeah, they can zoom in and read license plates, blah, blah, blah. It's pretty crazy what some of these blimps can do. But yeah,
that's one, balloon talk. Let's move on to round number three.
All right, round number three.
So this one I wanted to kind of explain at the top what different types of punishment that there is, because we talk a lot about like NJP, page 11. So I kind of wanted just to explain what some of those levels are, because I think that that could come into play at the end of this story that we're going to read. So the first thing that you do, Article 15, you can have multiple types, and we won't go through what I have on the sheet. You can have multiple types of punishment. One comes from a company grade officer, which is 01 through 03. So that's like your platoon, your company level, that's going to have at the most probably 250 people that those officers are going to be in charge of. The next is going to be field grade, which is 03 through or 04 through 06. Those folks have the ability to strip rank. The 01 through 03 do not have the ability to strip rank. And they could do up to 45 days of extra duty and make you lose your pay for that long as well. Anything over that is a court-martial. So you have summary, special, general. So that being said, we'll move into the story.
All right, so here we get into the story now that Chaps has explained punishments that different level of officers can give out. And this was on the Army Reddit. Our Army Baby Back Fried Fish posted this.
How do you come up with that name? What does that even mean?
Baby Back Fried Fish.
Like some of the Reddit names, I'm like, how do you come up with
my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, chili.
Oh, I can understand if baby back was your username. That checks out completely. But Baby Back Fried Fish?
I don't know, but whatever the case, they had a very odd encounter on CQ. No shit, here I am at 0500 slamming my head on the table trying to stay awake. I hear the door open and suspect it's a hungover Joe coming in after being out all night. But a very old Hispanic lady waddles in. I'm talking like 80, 90 years old, can barely walk. And for anyone who doesn't know, barracks across the country, every night, 24/7, Christmas, doesn't matter what day it is, there are two little troops sitting there on duty at every single barracks, like every single little hut. They're sitting there bored as hell with their ruler, their duty book, whatever. So it's 5 a.m. and this ancient little old Hispanic lady walks in to these two dudes while they're on duty at 5 a.m. He says, I first suspect she's delivering food, but she's not carrying anything. So
that would suck to be 85, 90 and delivering for food, Uber Eats.
And be an Uber Eats driver. Jeez.
So my second thought is some sick bastard is smashing Granny in the barracks. A stranger shit has happened. So it's like, that's not even a crazy, weird, inappropriate thing to say. Yeah. I politely ask her if I can help her and she ignores me and just walks straight to the laundry room. Great. Old people privilege. Like you can just, people just can't stop you. I stare at my runner, like the other guy on duty, and he just shrugs. I follow her and she starts emptying a dryer out into one of those shitty small clear trash bags the Army uses. The clothes looked like granny clothes, so I ask, is that your laundry? And she just gives me a dirty look, mutters something in Spanish, and begins to walk out. So I follow her out to the parking lot.
She was like, no, that's just Kate Haynes.
Yeah. So I followed her out to the parking lot, and she gets in her car and casually drives off. I got her plate number and called PMO, and the dude thought it was hilarious, but he also explained how she may have dementia or some shit, and they'll try to track her down. And that's the post.
Mm-hmm. And here's why he could get in trouble. You cannot allow people in the barracks past you that you're supposed to stop. So that's letting in somebody that you're not supposed to. It's failure to do your duty requirements. Letting her in there to do the laundry, letting her go in, and then letting her go out without stopping her and IDing her. All of those different things are dereliction of your duties while you're the barracks NCO. So this, whoever the company grade officer is going to have to decide, do I want to NJP this sergeant, corporal, staff sergeant that's on duty because they failed in their duty to not have somebody come into the barracks that wasn't authorized. Right, Cons? Like, I could see
absolutely.
That.
No, it's absolutely. It all comes down to, you know, the leadership, depending on how much of a hard ass they want to be, if they want to really set an example. Because you're right, like, now, 80 to 90-year-old woman probably doesn't pose much of a threat, but, you know,
that's how they use drug mules, Cons.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It goes to show that people get smart about that. They're like, oh, well, we'll just send in an 80-year-old woman and she'll have the bomb strapped to her stomach. And I'm sorry, that's like a ridiculous example, but it's certainly possible. Mm-hmm. So you have to, there has to be some sort of punishment. Now, if it were me, I don't know that I would, you know, bust the rank or, you know, do anything of that nature. I would probably just smoke this guy, take him out for a run and just smoke him until he pukes and then say like, hey, and then also make him give a PowerPoint because everybody hates PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
So think about if you have to make one.
The class thing sucks.
Yes,
man.
Do a class, teach everybody else why this is a problem, why you screwed up, and how do we do it? Yes.
Yeah, I think
absolutely 100% public shame.
I think if I was a leader, I'd just call the company together. I'd be like, because it's a young kid at 5 a.m. with such a bizarre circumstance that I can understand. In hindsight, the kid was probably like, oh shit, and at least he called PMO. I'd be like, here's this crazy weird thing that happens. Come up here, tell everyone your story. If it happens again, we have problems. But in the future, if this happens, here's what we do, and make sure everyone's clear on exactly what to do, especially with old ladies. Like, I can see young dude troops being like, I'm afraid to even touch this person. Like,
right. Like,
I don't
I'm
know.
Not saying that they should throw her on the ground and give her a try.
So I wouldn't punish this kid at all. And I think I would make it just a big time
You're
learning
soft.
Moment. If
You're
it happens
so
again, the next person gets punished. But I think I would just make
no.
it a good teaching
right.
moment.
And I think yeah. probably 95% of officers would do that same thing. And high
yeah.
level leaders, you'd do the same thing. But there's always that Captain Sobel up there.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That definitely would. Like, that are hard yeah. up about their shit. Like
right.
a brand new first lieutenant who finally has a little bit of sway more so than a second lieutenant and being like, how dare you do this? You
yeah.
just put the nation at risk because this old yeah. lady was in here. Like
yeah.
everything goes high to the right.
Zero perspective.
right.
We used to have
those kind of people in Okinawa called mama-sans that worked
mm-hmm.
in the barracks and were
yeah.
they did your laundry and shit.
And who knows?
Yeah.
I can see the most reasonable explanation being it. Someone in base housing, a troop in base housing, has their mother living with them, and their laundry broke, and so she's been just going over to the barracks to do it. Because
well, so that's the other side of this.
Like,
what a flex by this woman to just walk in like she owns the place.
She does.
And
yep.
yeah,
I mean, she does.
And does her laundry.
You do your laundry there. You own it.
Yes. I respect the hell out of it. Act as if.
Now,
here's my theory
other,
as well.
I looked
ahead,
up.
Kate.
Two other fun stories from people on duty that people were
oh, wait,
like,
can I go before that?
Sure,
two
sure.
other stories. I don't think that she was somebody's wife or anything like that. I think maybe, because you know, the oldest people on base, that where do they work? Do you guys remember? The commissary. As like
yeah.
baggers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bet she's like, I'm going on there to bag on my lunch break. Might as well go in there and do a little bit of laundry.
Do a little laundry,
yeah.
right. So who knows?
I don't hate
but,
the move by her.
No. Good initiative, bad judgment. Or good initiative, good judgment on her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lest we forget, we've talked about this on here before. In 2015, there was a civilian con artist who was just living on Fort Bragg in the barracks for a long-ass
yeah.
time. For months, he was telling people he was in a top-secret EOD school. So they'd be like, come on, man, it's time to go run. He's like, no, I'm in a top-secret school. And they're like, okay. And they just let him live there for a long time. They found him. He had guns and knives and all kinds of crazy shit. Shouldn't have been living in the barracks. They finally caught him when he was just like boozed up, fucked up on base one day. And when they gave him a breathalyzer test, he said, yeah, I'm wasted. And then they got him.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah. So those duty, whoever was on duty for those several months, just letting that guy roll, probably got in trouble. Another guy said, when I was the officer of the day at Elgin Air Force Base at Pensacola, I got a call that says a civilian brought in a crippled pigeon with a government leg band and wanted to know, does this belong to you guys? Is this your Air Force bird? I checked a couple projects that I knew about and confirmed it was indeed an Air Force project bird, but the project that was doing it with these birds didn't want this one back. So they said the civilian could keep.
I need a military working pigeon handler.
Yep. So they said, civilian, you can keep this Air Force pigeon. Good for you. You have a little Air Force pigeon.
What a gift. I mean, that's incredible.
Another guy said the duty called him. He was the commander that night because two of his soldiers decided to eat a bunch of magic mushrooms and wander around Fort Drum. One of them stripped down to his underwear, went through the woods, came out by the main gate, proceeded to climb into a girl's car, do karate, and then flip through her windshield. This guy had to go pick him up from the ER and take him back to the MP. So yeah,
that's
just
ridiculous.
You never know what you're going to get. You think it's a quiet night, and
I wonder what belt he was.
I'd say probably brown.
Yeah, I was going to say yellow. But, I mean, just these are stories, though, like, in this world, and I think New York's probably the basic example. You can walk around New York City and do whatever, and people don't bat an eye. But I think just largely, if you just act like you're supposed to be where you are, people largely leave you alone. So
yeah.
I could see how
or
these
Or they
things,
want to be
things
left
happen.
Alone. Even if you're
yeah.
doing weird shit, like the time that I was in New York, and it was when we had all – you remember when there was a stoolie who – would give out, like, to all of us, he would give out, like, Under Armour shit, remember?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
there was one
yes.
dude that would send Under Armour shit. So I had, like, maybe 10 pairs of shoes that were in the office. And I went down to go get a coffee. And whenever I was going by, there was this unhoused person that was laying on the street. I noticed one of his shoes was completely, like, the toes of it were completely off and the bottoms were coming off. And they looked to be about my size. And I was like, sir, what size shoe do you wear? I have some extra shoes. And he just looks at me and he goes, shut up, pussy.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Gotta stay on your toes.
Yeah, it's New York, baby. For you. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to round number four. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We want everyone to do one thing during Mental Health Awareness Month, and that is take care of your brain. We're going to be talking about mental health every week in May, and BetterHelp is partnering with us to get the conversation started and kick off your day on a positive note. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need for yourself. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find the balance that needs your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get started with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero. Which is good initiative, bad judgment. Let's do a couple stories here. Kate, what's the first one?
Yeah, so police in the Netherlands arrest a guy who was drunk driving through one of their cities, and they go to get his driver's license, and who is it? Prime Minister Boris Johnson, okay? Except the guy wasn't actually Prime Minister Boris Johnson. He just had Prime Minister Boris Johnson's license, or what looked exactly like it. Unfortunately for the person concerned, we did not fall for it, said the police. The driving license says it also says it's Ukrainian, which Boris Johnson is not.
And you missed a big part there, Kate.
Yeah.
It doesn't expire until the year 3000.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It also doesn't expire until
the year
3000.
That's just thinking ahead. That's smart.
But
I bet this guy had no clue who Boris Johnson was. Whenever he picked it up from the shop, I bet he was like, this looks like a crazy white person. I'll just use that one.
Yep, it's sold. These licenses of all the different presidents are sold at tourist shops there, I guess. And he really tried to pass Boris Johnson off as him to get out of
it. I wonder if he looked like Boris Johnson. I need to know what he looked like.
Yeah, that would be helpful for the context of the story. But I'm just going to say this, and it's a cruel thing to do to judge people on how they look, but it's what we do here. Mm-hmm. If you were to pick a person in this world who is a leader in a various country who looks like he's constantly drunk driving, I'm sorry, it's Boris Johnson.
It is Boris Johnson. Yeah. Yes, he's the drunk drivingist.
I bet his breath smells like Fireball any time of the day.
Yeah.
I'm saying good initiative, bad judgment.
Yeah, good initiative, bad judgment.
Same.
Real quick aside, I'm not going to say his name, and you're going to hear in safe rounds. I'm just not telling you guys information this episode. But my dad is friends with a guy who has had lifetime 7 DUIs.
Dude.
You know, in five in Texas, you can go to prison for the rest of your life?
I honest to God say good. I had a friend killed in high school by a drunk driver who had just become a dad. And, well, he was my high school friend, but right after high school. And, like, this person had, like, 4 DUIs. It's like, dude, you're fucking done at that point.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Well, two things. Crazy. Number one, DUIs, I think you largely see like people older than us, because that was just like of a time gone by where, you know, they grew up and there was a time when drunk driving like wasn't a crime. Like you would get pulled over and a cop might like take you home, but it wouldn't arrest you. Mm-hmm. But also something I learned, some of his DUIs were in the state that he didn't live. So like it worked out that he didn't lose his license.
Yeah, because
they can't,
back in the day,
they can't take the license from you.
Well, back in the day, the systems didn't talk to each other unless it was federal. So if you did something in Virginia, there's no way for anybody in Maryland to even know about it because their systems didn't. Now there's a national database where you can't get away with that kind of shit. Can't get away with anything. No.
Speaking of, a former nurse at Western Sydney Hospital has had her registration canceled. And quite honestly, I feel like she should do a little jail time after she turned off the sound on an elderly patient's vital signs monitor so she could FaceTime her family. Geraldine Dizon also failed to tell doctors that the guy had an irregular heartbeat while this was going on, and he was found dead.
When I first read this story, I assumed that the nurse was super kind And this old person wanted to FaceTime their family because they thought that, they were about to die. Not the case. She was just goofing.
No, she just sucks. She explained she turned the sound of his monitor off to stop another confused patient from thinking it was his doorbell because the guy kept getting out of bed. That was her excuse. But
and
really,
that's what makes this segment.
Yeah, and so really she was just – she turned it off so she could not pay attention to her patients and talk to her family. Bad initiative, bad judgment.
Big
thing.
Yeah. That's a big time.
Bad.
Yeah. A fiscal officer in Ohio – went on an unusual spending spree for 5 years on the taxpayer dime. Cyril Viestra of Wilkersville was sentenced to 5 years in prison on corruption after they found out he took more than $310,000 in township expenses to purchase multiple roadside zoo things.
When you go through the story, Kate, like the rest of it, I'm shocked it's only $310,000.
Yeah, he was stealing. And for a small township, $310,000 is a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
He was stealing that money to build his own miniature zoo. He paid for a golf cart, a riding mower, animal rescue trailer, 6 vinyl windows. Let's see, what else? 5 hot tubs, a wildebeest, 2 snow owls
like,
from England.
Wildebeest? I think wildebeest bottom in 70 grand, right? Like you, how many wildebeest are in the United States?
Windows for a primate exhibit.
Can't be a many.
Built. Gazebos, generators, greenhouses, custom built enclosures. He also bought personal items, electronic devices, video games, sandals, and more. So he was buying all this stuff. He planned to create a zoo and start an Airbnb at the zoo at his home. So he created false documents, including invoices, written statements, trusting meetings, and misled others for all kinds of other things for the funds, and then took those funds for the township to build his little zoo.
So. Listen, starting a business, a zoo Airbnb, all great ideas. I think that's good initiative.
Good initiative.
Horrible judgment.
Bad judgment.
Real bad judgment. Mm-hmm. Speaking of using town funds, have either of you ever seen the movie Bad Education?
No. Mm-hmm.
All right, it's on HBO right now. High recommend.
I'll never watch.
Hugh Jackman. Trust me. Hugh Jackman. It's got Allison Janney, though, chaps.
Who's
CJ
that?
Craig.
Oh, yeah. CJ Craig. We don't use her real name. We don't use her government name.
Yeah, no. CJ Craig's in it. But it's based on a true story of a school district out in Long Island. This dude embezzled, like, millions and millions of dollars. And this woman did, too. Really good movie. High recommend. But
maybe I'll watch.
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay.
I looked it up. There's less than 2,000 wildebeest in the United States.
I think you can't be selling those off.
Got two of them.
No, you got to pay a lot for a wildebeest.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends at Cross Country Mortgage. Buying a home can be one of the hardest things you can do. You need the best support available to get through it. That's why we're big fans of Cross Country Mortgage. They're dedicated to getting your dream home and will stick with you until you get it done completely. Cross Country Mortgage has a team of loan officers dedicated to get it done and finding you the best possible loan terms available. They even have an average close time of 21 days, which is ridiculously fast. I'm in the home buying process right now, and when they said it was 14 to 21 days, 21 days is crazy. The average time being 21 days is nuts. They got a wide variety of loan types, which means they have everything to cover everyone. With a huge variety of products, they can cover everything from renovations to refinancing and everything in between. When you want someone you trust by your side every step of the way in the home buying process, which is always, you need Cross Country Mortgage. They'll have your back from the beginning to the end and are dedicated to getting it done. Get a rate quote at CCM. We'll send you some swag and go to crosscountrymortgage.com/barstool. Again, that's crosscountrymortgage/barstool, Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029. All loans are subject to underwriting approval. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Let's move into some save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Shout to my guy, Andre Carter from Army, signed with the Minnesota Vikings. I anticipate he will have a very nice NFL career, but this is certainly the first start. Very excited for him.
What happened with that, Cons? There was like preseason talk that he could have been a first rounder. What happened?
Well, I'm debating how much detail I want to go into because I don't want to disparage anyone. But let's just say some things were said that I think gave a lot of NFL teams pause because God forbid you waste the draft pick on someone that in a year somebody changes their mind and they say, oh, wait, no, we need you to go to the Army right now. Versus you wait until the draft is over, you sign him as a free agent, you still get a great player. Because
you got to grandfather
like,
those guys, man. Like that.
No, he's good.
So
no. He is. He is grandfather. Okay. He's good. But it was just the cloud of uncertainty that
well,
I think.
Or if he changed his mind, too.
Right. So. Like, people were like, oh, well, he went to the combine and his numbers weren't what they, you know, people thought. No, nothing about his ability changed. It was strictly factors outside of his control, outside of football, that were the reason that
fucking
he didn't get
Sleepy
drafted.
Joe. Just say it, Cons. It's Sleepy Joe. He's going to wake up from a nap and be like, ah, those West Point guys, they got to go back. Recruiting numbers are down, Cons. You got to keep that in mind.
Exactly. That's how you boost the recruiting numbers. Let them go play in the NFL. So he's going to make the team. He's going to play in the NFL. Like, I have no doubt. Like, he was projected first round before the season, after the season, second, third round. You don't go undrafted when you're a projected second-day guy. Yeah. So
I thought you might have misspoke yesterday when you were like, he signed as a free agent.
Yeah.
Like, how did he do that?
So. Nevertheless, I anticipate, and I had some time, or I had a chance to spend some time with him 2 weekends ago. Great kid. Couldn't be more happy for him. So we'll see what that goes. Two more things. Number one, this weekend's Kentucky Derby. One of my mentors, Lieutenant Colonel Craig Flowers, has a horse running in the Kentucky Derby. He's one of the owners, him and his baseball teammates from TCU. They put together their funds.
That's
and they
some
created...
officer shit, too. We got a horse in the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
Oh, come out and watch our horsey.
Unless they put money in on a greyhound, is what we do. We're down at the greyhound.
Yeah. No, we have we have dominoes behind the barracks.
We have two crabs fighting each other in a box in the barracks. But...
$20 spade games.
Yeah. So they created Don't Tell My Wife Stables, this horse. I don't know really much about horse racing. I was texting with Dave prior to recording just to get a little context. Getting a horse in the Kentucky Derby, unless you're just like uber wealthy, is almost impossible. So the fact that they have this horse running this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby, Confidence Game is the name. It's 20-1. It's not like crazy long shot.
No, that's not
but
bad.
But it's, yeah, so, you know, I might bet responsibly on the Barstool Sportsbook app.
Sprinkle a couple hundred bucks on that, Cons.
Might have to sprinkle a little. So shout to Colonel Flowers. Maybe we'll get him on the show one day. I'm not going to go into detail, but he did some interesting things while
I
in
like
the
that, Cons. Two things in save rounds that you're not going to go into too much detail.
Yeah.
Just keep
Listen,
him in.
Keep him
Just
coming
keep
back.
Keep it close to the vest. Keep it
keep
close to your sweater
coming
vest,
back.
Cons.
Wait, no, I want to know when he's going to talk about that. So I got to listen to every episode until he talks. Mm. And then lastly, Chaps. Mm. Goes on the dog walk in Chicago and completely disparages me.
Yeah, no. I did.
Yes.
I don't remember what I said, but I remember everybody else being like, damn.
And everyone's I was like, oh, yeah, I agree. So what Chaps did, Kate, though, he goes on the dog walk and they're talking about fictional bars and restaurants. And it was a great episode, a lot of fun. But Chaps was talking about how if you hang out with me and you're sober and I'm already like 3 or 4 beers ahead of you, it's annoying. And I would argue, if you're sober and you go hang out with anybody who's 3 or 4 drinks ahead of you, it's not
exactly
the same.
Yeah, but you're Jersey loud, Cons. You're Jersey loud. So your normal loudness.
I'm loud sober. Listen to me right now.
So your normal loudness around people, you're about 2 notches up. If you're talking TV, we come in at about 15. Cons comes in at 17 or 18 on the volume scale. When he's the first one drinking, because everybody does it. When you're drinking, your volume goes up and up. When Cons is drinking, he's at
but
like
I'll
25.
I'll say this about Cons. If you're on the same level as the guy.
Oh, yeah, fun.
Let's go.
I'm not Absolute saying he's not a fun drinker.
Time. We were up on the bar down in Daytona, the
yes,
bar with all the bras on the ceiling. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not fun drinking. I love going out with Cons and hanging. Yeah. We hang out every time we have like an event and like even in the office and stuff. Love hanging out with Cons. I need earplugs when if I have been drinking first.
Buddy, that's just the East Coast. I think it's
true.
Gross.
Yeah.
We're just
I'm not going to apologize for being a good time, Charlie.
Don't. You're
all
a
right?
great time.
No apology needed, but I'm not going to apologize for stating facts.
I love drunk cops.
Yeah, that was a fair shot. I'll say it. That was a fair shot.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Catherine?
Nothing. I was in Chicago over the weekend.
This pisses me off whenever we don't even do a week and you have nothing. No, and you go,
I just started again. I was like, well, you know, nothing crazy, I should say. I went to Chicago over the weekend to do a little house hunting, put an offer in on a ridiculous home with a jacuzzi that's on a carpet and twirly stairs. As someone who is pregnant with a toddler, open twirly stairs so you could, a little kid could slide right through. So that was a dumb thing. I don't know if I got the house or not. And if I did,
I love how you're saying it's a dumb thing. Why you still don't even know if, like, you put in an offer and you're like, this is a dumb thing.
The amount of work it's going to need, and it's at the top of my budget, is just going to put me in an enormous amount of debt. But isn't that the American way? Isn't that
it, I suppose that's one way to look at it.
Living
it
above my means. I've never done that before. I've always lived way below my means. And I'm excited to
try. I've seen all these people spending willy-nilly. I thought, you know what? I'll give that a try.
Yeah, but in your defense, Kate, if that house, because there's some weird shit about that house for sure.
It's a weird house.
But it's a very Kate house. But if you make those corrections, the next time somebody comes in and views that house, they're not going to be like, this is a weird fucking house. So you're going to get more money out of it.
I don't know, because then in my head I was like, oh man, look at all these weird nooks and crannies. I can paint all kinds of little wacky murals in here. I can really
That might not do it.
So,
unless you paint it back before you put it on the market.
Yeah, interested to see if we get the house or not. I have no idea. I'm trying to use them. Like, do it. I was texting you guys yesterday. Well, it's a VA home loan for dummies. Someone explain this shit to me, blah, blah, blah. So maybe once I've gone through that process, I'll have a little quick explainer for any other dummy.
Well, that's
out
what
there.
I said. I think going through the process is as important as getting the house, because you're learning. Each time you go through the process, you're learning and getting more savvy with it.
Yeah.
And I think buying a house, obviously, it's pretty much the biggest purchase anybody ever makes in their entire life. Mm-hmm. So you have to imagine that the biggest purchase ever is going to have some ins and outs that everybody just doesn't know off the top of their head from Jump Street. So I think it's perfectly fine that you're doing it this way.
I'll say this, though. I'm not a finance person. The home is worth more than my net worth. And I'm
going. I mean, that's
fucking
typically
going for
how it goes.
That's the American. Is this not the American dream? I'm finally. I don't own jewelry. I don't own a purse. I wear free clothes from work and from my aunts. Shout out Seattle City. And so I eat Chef Boyardee from a can. I'm ready to finally live above my means. So that's all I got.
But
I
was telling Kate, we were talking, I was coming back from Austin. And I told her, I remember on this show, or maybe it was on radio, she said, I don't think I'll ever own a home. Couple months later, here we are, going to have Katie homeowner.
Let me clarify, I shouldn't. It makes no sense financially. It's going to ruin me. So
disagree.
I still shouldn't. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to.
How much equity do you have in your apartment?
What does equity mean?
Wow.
All right. We got a lot of stuff.
Econ 101.
No.
Let's go.
We're going to do it next week. We're going to do school circle on Kate. And we're going to talk about some home buying stuff, some VA stuff. Because a lot of people, this is my third house that I'll buy. I would say on a math scale, which I love using a math scale. I don't know why I don't do it more. I'm past long division. I'm probably at pre-algebra as far as buying homes. But the real estate agents that you're dealing with and the mortgage brokers, they're at like college trigonometry, where they know all that shit ins and out. You got to trust those people. They're tutoring you. You're paying them to tutor you. Let them tutor.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. What a great analogy that was.
That was a good analogy because you're right. This is what they do for a living. So it stands to reason the good ones know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Got to listen to them. And last thing I'll say about real estate agents, remember, Kate, they work for you. Mm-hmm. Don't feel bad about asking them questions.
Because they're going to get a large chunk of change.
She was amazing. She had me meet her kids, who are my age, with their own kids, my kids' age, for breakfast.
Blew my mind when you said that.
They were like, here's the pros and cons of city living. Here's the pros and cons of the suburbs. Here's how we really, truly feel about where we live in Chicago. But like, she was like, I won't sugarcoat it. Not going to pressure you. Just want you to know the facts. Like, drove me to every neighborhood.
Yeah. I would equate this to when you deploy for the first time. When you buy a house in a new place like you guys are doing. Because you can talk to people till you're blue in the face about what to expect and how it's going to go.
You're like,
until you guys live there, you're not going to fully understand what it's like and how you react to it. It's good to do all that research prior to, but you're still going to have some bumps along the way and learning experiences. But certainly moving.
And that's why it's
scary
moving from like where Kate and I are and moving to Chicago. We've never lived there. So like you're buying a house, making that kind of large investment, like Cons was saying, and you're also doing it basically sight unseen for the neighborhoods. Like
well, I will say this too.
You don't know what's going on.
This home is directly across the street, like across the street and two houses over from a VFW, an LGBTQ friendly VFW that does Friday night bingo parties.
Oh, so Katie Bingo.
Kate's going to become the, and lest we forget, Kate, we have lifetime VFW memberships.
I know.
You could be queen
of the
VFW.
I got the card in my wallet right now.
I know. Well, there's a huge dirt square in the backyard of this house. It's very random. I might ask the vets for a working party. I might help
there
another
you
vet
go.
Out.
That would be good, Kate. That would be good. Hmm. All right. I don't really have a lot this time.
COVID.
Yeah.
That's what you have, my friend.
Yeah, I had COVID, so I've been staying in my office for like the last couple days, just isolating, doing that. It's stupid. Isolation is just the worst. I was feeling good. I was like not depressed, and they're like staying there for fucking days by yourself. And it's like, this is, what am I supposed to do in here? But I will say, McCartney has been maybe the sweetest child alive since I've been doing this. McCartney, probably when they're home, and yesterday they were off of school, they come in and they are like knocking on the door of my office, and they're like, hey, Dad, what are you doing? And I'm like, just hanging out. So I'm sitting by the door, Cardi's sitting by the door, and they're telling me about their day, what they've been doing, what their FIFA games were like. And then they would bring me like a plate of cookies that had like two or three cookies on it. And then they would bring me like ice cream, and then it was like a root beer float, and bringing all my favorite things to me. And not asked, just being nice. And, like, I came inside for a minute to grab, like, dinner or something, like my little plate for dinner. And they're like, I feel so bad for you, Dad, being lonely down there.
Yeah, they're looking out for you. Very nice.
It is. That's one of those moments that refreshes. Being a dad is pretty good. Like, that's a
pretty
good
sweet
thing. Especially when your kids like you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's important to have your kids like you. That's what I'm worried about. I wonder if my daughter will even like me.
That's why I give my kids sugar whenever he wants it.
I feel like I'm an acquired taste, so hopefully she acquires it pretty early on.
Yeah, hopefully she has sensitive
ears. You're
going to
be such a sucker for her. You two are going to be thick as thieves, Cons, you and your daughter.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yep.
I hope so.
I know so.
You could be wearing a polo shirt, but she'll wear a polo dress or maybe a polo shirt. Who knows?
Tiny sweater tied around her neck. Little
can't
exactly.
wait.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. All right.
Yeah.
Confidence game. Kentucky Derby. There we go.
Okay. Time to retreat.